Hi, this is Bobby Ryan, and you're listening to the Sens Call-Up.
From Studio 65 in our nation's now thawing capital, welcome to Season 3, Episode 14 of the Sens Call-Ups for Wednesday, March 11th, 2015.
Elfie. 11th.
Okay.
Sorry, carry on.
The days are getting longer, the canal is closed after a record-setting 59 consecutive days of being open, and the Senators are playing entertaining hockey, and that's all you can really ask for. You can reach us via email at podcast@senscallups.com, via Twitter, via Facebook, in our online forums, and via the waiver wire, courtesy of Versature, at 844-SCU-6565.
So was the record streak of the canal being open, and what, Dave Cameron made the call to close the canal?
No.
You're just not picking up when I'm laying down, are you?
Clearly.
Moving along.
Okay. Yeah, that one went over my head, well, badly. Anywho.
It's got to be pretty tall to go over your head, too.
It does, yes. Or at least high flying.
Yeah.
You know, could go either way. Or fast.
No. It's like a Condra shot.
Quick rising? No, over the net?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes. But he hits the... Well, no, he hits the net. The netting.
The wrong net. Net.
Oh, that net! Got it!
The one with the person in front.
Two goals in five games.
Damn. He's doing all right.
For an educated guy, you really missed the point on that one.
That's okay. No, the weather's better. The days are longer. It's
so
really
great.
Nice being outside at 7 o'clock at night and the sun still being up.
It was nice not wearing a jacket to the game last night.
It was great not wearing a jacket and wearing running shoes.
That may have been the best part, but we'll get to that.
We'll get to that. That's the last of the games we have to talk about.
I had one of my, in my recycling, one of my Cherry Cokes cans thawed out and I found it.
Where do you get this Cherry Coke?
Costco.
Where?
Canada.
Which Costco? Oh,
only Canada.
Only Costco, yeah.
I've been in there several times.
Only from time to time. And it's
several
there.
Several times.
You have to go every week, usually on a Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yep. That's a reload day. Reload.
Reload because, Tuesday, Wednesday?
Yeah.
And it's then, back with the rest of the Coke.
Yes.
Yeah, sometimes it's on the end of an aisle. I go to the one over on local references. Here we go. Check that box off.
Cha-ching.
I usually go to the one over at Merrifield and Hunt Club.
Yes.
And it's sometimes on the end of an aisle, but it's near where the pop aisle is.
Okay.
But they'll bring in an entire skid and it'll be gone in 48 hours.
Yep.
Just like the Retro Pepsi, which they had last year, which was fantastic. I don't drink Pepsi. I'm a Coke person, but Retro Pepsi had cane sugar rather than HFCS, and it was really good.
Anyone in the U.S. listening right now is like, why are these Canadians so excited about a Cherry Coke?
Because we can't get it up here all the time.
Yeah.
Just like we can't. Can you still get Coke with lime in the States? I know that was about 10 years ago.
Want to.
You can get
I
Coke
loved
with
it.
Anything.
Did you?
Yeah, I liked it.
There's the Diet Coke with lemon.
I don't drink
that
things with diet.
That one tasted like sunlight.
Well, anything with the word diet,
Don't take it.
No. Sunlight.
No.
As in the dish detergent.
It tasted just like that. It was
got your mouth
so
washed
gross.
Out with soap as a lot as a child, did you?
Oh. Just like Mama gave me.
It was before I met you, so I had to get edited somehow.
Oh, okay. I take that as a compliment. That means I'm a good influence. I'm okay
That's
with
right.
that. All right, we got games to get to. We got stuff to talk to. It's already getting late because we're back to our usual starting too late. After a few times of starting at a reasonable hour, we no longer are. Let's get going.
Game on!
Oh,
you know.
That's a throwback.
That other goal song had a long streak, but, you know, we should just pull it and go back to what you're used to.
I like this one. I got no problem with this. I when it came on, I went, hey, I like this one. Local guy, it's
Hearts,
I believe.
Hearts and Stereo, right?
Hearts and Stereo.
Yeah.
That's a local?
I think he's local.
Oh.
I'm not 100% sure.
I thought he was like Christian.
Yeah, no, he is.
I think he is local.
Local Christian artist. Yeah.
Oh.
And I went, okay.
He, that may not have come through very crisp because I threw it up there in a flash and I noticed it was clipping out, but anyway.
Oh, well.
You got the idea.
It's free.
Yeah. There's another checkbox to click off on your bingo card, folks.
It's for free.
Playing along at home. Game 61. The Senators were in Minnesota. This was a 3-2 shootout loss. Andrew Hammond got the start. I don't really have many notes on this game. I was watching it, but or listening to it. I don't remember which at that point.
It was kind of like, oh, but we got a point.
We got a point out of it. I had some notes, but apparently I didn't save them because they're not in front of me.
This
now.
Is actually a very fantastic game. It was two teams going at it. What was the final score?
3-2.
3-2. Like, it was, yeah. So 2-2 at the end of regulation. This is the game that last week we entertained Chuck as he drove down to...
so I wasn't there.
To okay. St. Paul's for?
It was in Minneapolis.
Like, where was I sitting
in
this one?
St. Paul, yeah.
Yeah, no. Excellent game. I think I even saw some notes on him on Twitter saying probably one of the best games he's ever been to. And I could see that it was a high-quality, entertaining game. It's a shame it had to go to a shootout.
Yeah,
it's a shame any game has to go to a shootout, but that's just me.
Indeed, and this was just one of those games that's kind of like, wow, this thing should just tie and just be done with it.
Well, that would be a satisfactory result for me. The one note I do have on this game is in the shootout, Mika Zibanejad hit a post, and that was his third post of the game.
Oh, yeah.
He had two on the power play in the third, and then he got one during the shootout. Bobby Ryan scored. Tourist scored.
I believe Minnesota went up 2-0, and then they clawed back.
No, it was Koivu.
Zibat and Ryan.
Koivu scored.
Oh,
Bobby Ryan scored. Parise shot wide. Mika hit a post. Pominville scored. Tourist scored. Niederreiter did not. Stone did not. Coyle did. Hoffman did not.
See, folks, he said he had no notes on this game, I drew it out of him.
I had the only note I have is from the shootout.
Remember my text to you guys about this shootout strategy?
No.
Slow, fast, dangle.
Yeah, I didn't get it.
No.
That's what everybody did?
Ryan came in slow.
Okay.
And then Zibanejad just sped through. Turris did a dangle.
Ah.
Stone came through slow. Hoffman came in fast.
And you know what Minnesota did? High glove, high glove, high glove, high glove.
Yeah.
On Hammond.
It's okay.
Hammond.
He's not good in the shootout. I don't think he's done very well this year in the shootout.
I don't know, to be honest.
Hammond?
I didn't have time to do any Binghamton notes for this show, so I did. I was wanting to look up to see what his record was down there as far as shootouts and overtime and that sort of thing, but I just didn't have time. I've hardly been home at all this week, or last week for that matter. Be that as it may. Yeah. The next game was the next night, game 62. The Senators were in Winnipeg, and this was a 3-1 win. This was not a particularly strong game for the Senators. They started very slow.
Yep.
They got fast, and then they ran out of gas with 10 minutes left in the game and basically hung on.
And no surprise, given it was a back-to-back
and a
hard game in Minnesota.
And the fifth game in 8 days or 9 days, including all three out in
California. Carlson had played, 32 minutes the game before?
He played 35, wasn't it?
Ooh.
I think it was 35 minutes.
We all joked about him sleeping in an oxygen chamber.
Crazy. This was also the game with the really, really nasty hit from behind. Hoffman was hit behind and driven into another by one Winnipeg Jet and driven into another Jet's leg and split his lip open as well as his knee. And
was it his lip? I thought it was his nose.
It was his lip, apparently.
It's a hockey play.
No, it wasn't. That was a dirty.
As opposed to a baseball play, it was a hockey play.
It was a dirty little play.
Turnbuckle.
That was.
Yeah.
But it was a hard fought win by the Senators, especially the last 10 minutes when they were just completely out of gas. They were hanging on, but they managed to do it. So 3-1 win. Good on them for doing it.
And I don't think Hammond was supposed to start that one either, right?
Yeah, that was the awkward one where Anderson was going to start.
My hand hurts still.
And then the coach came back and changed his mind.
Was that the one?
Yeah.
I think so.
Okay.
It was.
There we go. So that's all I have to say about that game. Moving on. Game 63.
They won again. Woohoo!
Game 63. This was the first game back in town after the road trip. This was last Friday night versus the Sabres. I wanted to say a personal big thank you to Sylvie for inviting me to the game, inviting Pan as well.
We had I was there.
You were there. You were sitting
all of this,
three people to my left.
Yeah. Banished.
It was I'm just tired of sitting next to you and you yelling shoot at a goalie. So I put you as far away from me as I could.
I bet you still heard him though.
Actually, I think you only shouted it twice. No, I spent the entire game slouching because I know that I'm rather difficult to see around if you're sitting behind me.
Oh no.
And it was only 10 minutes left in the game and I suddenly realized there is nobody behind me because it's the staircase.
Yeah.
I am not a bright boy sometimes. Well, I mean well.
And those are row A seats, right?
That's correct.
You know what? I was at the last game there in row A. I'm struggling with that bar now.
Okay.
I'm starting to think that
it's right in the way.
It is really in a bad spot.
Yeah.
Right about the time we're high slot, they're ready to shoot. It's like,
yeah, I was doing that. Basically, the top.
Oh, that's
because
you guys are slouching.
Okay. The top of the
and the thing is
the circle.
Yeah, and I don't have it in me to lean forward because I know what it's like. I've been in row B, and the guy in row A is leaning forward, and now why he's doing it? So now the bar is gone for him. But all of a sudden, now there's a whole head over the corner of the ice. You can't see.
Exactly. Should be standing.
Okay, well, we'll all go
with 319
and we'll do that.
That's over 312.
No, because then the last time I was in 319, I had to try and see around somebody who had a GoPro on their head. And I didn't enjoy that. So that's just me, though. That's just me. It's not my thing.
Could be worse. Could be a horse head.
I'm not making it. I wish I was making this up.
Or a giant freaking snowman.
Yeah, I wish I was making this up because maybe it would be funnier, but I'm not making it up.
I know you're not. That's the best part. What do you need this for? Anyway.
Onwards. It was a very shaky start by the whole team. They were not looking good in the first period. The first goal was very fluky. It was a bouncing shot that a Buffalo player in front of the net did a skate by and swatted it out of midair. Now, he shouldn't have been there. That was a missed assignment by Mathot. But he shouldn't. I mean, the chances of him being able to bat this puck out of midair and past Hammond are 100-1 at least. So Hammond doesn't take any blame for that goal at all. The second Buffalo goal, bit of a stinker, but everybody has those once in a while. So overall, the first period, sloppy. Lacked intensity, not a particularly good game. The intensity was up in the second period. The Senators did score, and they had a lot of chances. There was one interesting play, and we were sitting with Sylvie, and Sylvie's right behind the net in the home end. Mm-hmm. And this was the second period, so the Buffalo was in that end. And this was the counterclockwise thing. Was going on.
Oh, yes.
And because we were sitting right behind the net, we could see this, and it probably didn't come through on television. But at one point,
they were just cycling.
All five Ottawa Senators skaters were circling in a counterclockwise all the way around the offensive zone.
Yep.
And they got all the Buffalo players starting to circle as well, except they were circling and closing in, so they almost turned into a knot of players.
They were bumping into each other.
Because they were collapsing. And they got lost. They were collapsing, and they lost the person they were trying to keep a watch on, and it was astonishing to watch.
Gorgeous play.
I've never
I don't know who started that one or if they thought of it.
I've never seen anything like that before, but it was just a really simple play that really screwed Buffalo up. It was amazing to watch, and I wish there had been a camera with as wide of an angle as we were seeing to be able to show it on a replay. Because we were looking at each other going, did that really just happen? Because it looked like they were circling a drain or something. It was a perfect circle. It was wild.
They were circling a drain.
Well, fair enough. So are Buffalo. Very, very, very well put. The team returned to ice. The music that was playing when the team came back on the ice at the beginning of the third period was Avenged Sevenfold, our theme music.
They use that a lot.
They do. Now, this is where it gets important. And I pointed this out, so you might remember this. Came back to the ice, rock and roll. First whistle, rock and roll. Second whistle, rock and roll. Third whistle, rock and roll. No more dance music. No more cutesy, poppy music. It was all rock and roll. What happened? Team scores two goals. Boom, boom. Because it was all rock music.
So it's not Anderson versus Hammond. It's just play rock music?
Play rock music and the team will score. You play a lot of dancey, poppy stuff and there's no energy for it.
See, that is the stuff that Mark Mathot likes, right?
What? Rock and roll?
Yeah. Play more Pantera and stuff like that.
I'm all for it. Well, they were using Pantera as the power play song at the beginning of the season, and I thought it was fantastic. But I called it, and it worked. And it was right. And it was very
So this good. Is all on DJ, is what you're saying?
Well, no. All I'm asking is, Alex, because we listen once in a while, is more rock and roll.
He wouldn't play Jabandroids yesterday, so.
More rock and roll. That's what we need. And a little bit of Baltimore. But, I mean, that's just me. There was a tweet from Bobby Ryan after the game, which I thought was really cool of him to send out. It said, "We need the building just the way it was tonight for the rest of the way. The energy was contagious. Thank you. Hashtag love the city. Hashtag Sens Army." Cool.
Was it quite loud at that game?
It was. Well, the building wasn't packed, but it was certainly energetic.
It was exciting.
Once they started scoring in the third period, there was a lot of energy in the building. And, oh, sorry, I forgot. When the team was introduced, like the starting lineup, Andrew Hammond, biggest cheer of everybody, bigger than Eric Carlson.
Yeah.
Building just absolutely.
Well, it was his first home game too, right?
Yeah. No.
He came back from the streak.
Yeah. Well, technically he played in the game before they left.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
But he was just coming in relief. Yeah. So, yeah. But he got a bigger cheer than Eric Carlson, which was cool.
Well, deservedly so for the situation.
Right? I'm not disagreeing at all. Not at all. I thought it was great. After the game, our tickets were good for a free McDonald's hamburger.
Yep.
I went to McDonald's. I went to McDonald's and said, "I would like my free McDonald's hamburger, please." And the lovely young lady behind the counter said, "No, it's a Big Mac." And I went, "No, no, no, different promotion. That's if they score in the last minute." They didn't, but they won, so it's a free hamburger. "No, it's a Big Mac." I'm not going to win this one. So I got a free Big Mac, and I decided for the first time, and I really can't tell you how many years, I decided to have a Shamrock Shake.
Oh, yes, you told us about this.
What a ghastly mistake that was. Maybe I don't eat enough junk food these days, because I tend to try and eat somewhat healthy, not super healthy. I'm not a eat beans and vegetables and no meat and this, that, and the other thing.
Is this a Canadian thing? No way.
What? A Shamrock Shake?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
I have no idea.
It could be.
But I was trying to discern what... It's the same color as KFC coleslaw. Okay, that's strike number one. I swear it's the same shade of green. But I was trying to figure out what mint flavor it was. Is it spearmint? No. Is it peppermint? No. It's metallic mint.
It's mint number three.
Oh, it was horrible.
It's like those mints they put in the urinals.
A urinal cake. Yeah. That's not as far. You mean the ones with the little Toronto Maple Leaf playing card sitting against them?
Those are good, yeah.
So it was, the Shamrock Shake I didn't enjoy. That's just a personal thing. But I did get I got a free Big Mac instead of a regular hamburger.
People go out of their way to get those Shamrock Shakes. I've never had one.
Don't.
You're not selling it.
Yeah. Well, no.
I think it's their ice cream.
Too, it may be my. Well, you know, I don't mind their chocolate ones. I had a chocolate one a while back.
Chocolate milkshake's fine.
They're fine, but this metallic sugary, green death fine. Mint flavor, no.
Death mint.
No, not for me.
That was our food reference last week. What it was like? Heated meat.
Heated meat.
Heated meat.
Now you got me craving.
Actually went to Hinton.
I don't know why, but
I gotta go there.
You're talking about food, and now I'm craving a shawarma. I don't know.
About Hindenburger, but that's okay.
Oh, I want a shawarma.
I don't know if you can get a shawarma in this town.
Not in this end of the city.
Oh, actually, yes, you can.
Oh, can you?
Oh, yeah.
Are any good ones out here?
Oh, yeah.
I might need some directions after we're
finished. I'm still trying to find some Chinese takeout place.
Chinese? Like real takeout? Chinese? Or
shockingly, everything here is white.
Oh, you mean like chicken balls and rice?
Yeah.
And egg rolls? And
oh, it's North American Chinese food, not Somerset Street Chinese food.
Correct.
Yes. Yeah, see, I'm lucky. I live in downtown, which is right next to Chinatown. So I get really good Asian food. Vietnamese, Thai.
I had no problem in my old place. But Kanata's got a big Chinese community. I don't know where it is.
Interesting.
Takeout from the Kanata Noodle House. It's not Chinese. That's Thai and Vietnamese, but it's very
that
good
That one up Asian. In Kanata North.
There's another full
local reference. Local
Fu
reference.
Yen. Not bad, but it's not really Chinese. It's more, but they do have some. But
there's good sushi in North Canada too.
Hockey sushi.
That's true.
And there's a very
hockey
good
sushi. What a name, man!
That's what they call it. But sushi is really good, and the Indian place right next to it, Clay Oven, really good.
Yeah, great. I'm supposed to try that fusion place in Stittsville.
Which
it's
one?
Like all you can eat dim sum and sushi.
Ooh,
yeah.
I could do that.
That'd be fun. Maybe we'll take the show on the road.
So that's a wrap, guys. Back to game summaries.
All this from a Shamrock Shake. Okay.
Apparently, we didn't eat our supper.
No. Let's get through the games. No,
I forgot.
There you go. You've been around me too much.
Yeah, I know.
I can forget to eat for days. It's true. I can't.
Yeah,
it's,
you can.
I just don't think of eating because I don't get hungry, so I just forget to eat. Game 64 was the Senators versus Flames. This was a 5-4 shootout win. Hammond was out. Anderson was in. Team played a really good first two periods. They were up 4-0 after two periods. Looked really, really good through those first two periods.
I was in the 100s in that for that game, too. Yeah. Thanks, RSU.
And I saw you tweet that.
Yeah. And after the second, I was just laying back. It's like, we got this in the bag. This is done. This is easy.
I think the team did that too.
Holy crap.
Now, I didn't write down how many shots on goal. I think Calgary had 22 in the third period.
I can't remember, but something we were leading like 30-17. And then all of a sudden the shots were 38-35 Calgary.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I was just after overtime, it was happening?
40-38, something like that. It was crazy. Four goals in the third period. Now, Calgary are the highest scoring third period team in the league.
So let's pad those stats.
So yeah, we gave them a couple of more to make it look even better. But the Senators won in a shootout. I don't really have anything else to say.
It was a long shootout too, wasn't it? Like six rounds? Seven rounds?
Yeah, this one got real stressful.
Yes. Went quite long. Quite long. But I didn't write those ones down.
Sorry. Captain Carlson won it.
So there you go. 8 wins and 1 shootout loss in a row.
Yes.
Right back into it, setting up for the most important game of the Ottawa Senators season.
Every game is the most important game of the Ottawa Senators
season. No, this one was it. This was legit. Facing the Bruins.
Well, now I agree with you, but this is where you can get more leverage.
True. I missed the first period of this game. I had a prior engagement, so I didn't. I tuned in for the second period.
So good. No more Cardinal. Don't watch any more periods. Okay. Second periods.
Don't watch any more second periods. Do what I can. Anderson was in for that.
And you need to go back to the bathroom.
And
apparently.
Yeah. there were a lot of posts in this game as well.
Oh, yep. Three?
A lot
four?
Of posts. Four or five.
I think it was four.
Yeah, there were quite a few.
Tuukka Rask played out of his mind.
He was incredible. Well, you know what it was? It's his birthday, so it's a milestone playing against Ottawa.
And
a local guy comes back.
Yeah,
Brian Spooner.
Spooner, yeah.
Well, the shots on goal were 40 by Ottawa and 22 by Boston.
Yeah.
40-22. We almost outshot them 2-1.
The ghost of Tim Thomas in Ottawa.
Ottawa had 21 in the second period. Boston had 22 in the game. Okay.
In the second period, they had 20... Two?
Ottawa had 21 in the second period. Boston had 22 in the game.
And in that second period where they had 21 shots, they had three goals scored against,
yeah. Now, I did a little digging in the...
it was 3-0 in the second.
Yeah.
I thought, wasn't the first goal in the first period? No.
No,
maybe I must
second
have missed
period.
I guess I didn't. I guess I missed the beginning of the second
power
period.
Power play
then,
and
when
goal.
When I turned the TV on, it was
right
already
away.
One. Oh,
right
okay.
away.
Because it was already 1-0 when I turned the game on. Erik Karlsson had 5 shots on goal. Turris, Ryan, Stone, and Legwan all had 4. Hoffman had 3. Pageau had 3. And Zibanejad had 0.
Really?
0.
Mm. I thought he played well.
Well, he probably, no shots on goal. He probably did play well. I didn't see a problem.
Maybe.
He
was setting Boston up Ryan and Hoffman.
Yeah, he was.
Boston was getting in the way of shots. They were playing with
they
the mind.
They played so well defensively.
Like, there's so many times that the Senators didn't shoot when they actually could have. Like, they started getting in their headspace.
Yeah, there was no shot.
They got in their headspace, too. Well, you can see it. There was no shot, and sometimes there was, and then they thought there wasn't going to be, and it was just ridiculous.
Mm. Yeah, it's one thing when you're saying that Rask is giving up a lot of rebounds, but it's another when you actually realize that their defense is playing back and clearing the zone.
I was going to say, if you give up a rebound, as long as it gets cleared away, exactly. Which is what Ottawa was doing for Hammond.
Yeah. Yep.
He gives up the rebound, but they cleared away.
Yeah.
There weren't too many
second
chances.
Now, the other
chances.
Thing, too, is that when you're down at this point of the game, you put on all offense. And that's what Ottawa was doing. So you leave your goalie to hang.
Yeah, it was 3-0 at this point.
But not even if after it was 1-0.
I did a little
bit. Because that goal, the 2-on-1 on CeCe.
There was
sorry,
two
the one-on-one on CC.
The one-on-one CC just
was just an awesome play by Spooner.
The yeah, two-on-one was a blown pinch by Weirkosh and left CC all alone.
Because they were pinching to try to get offense because they're down 2-0.
Oh, yeah. They were taking gambles.
That's the sport. And then the third starts, and all you see is Boston go. I saw them at one point because I just had to focus on the full game instead of just pinning out the Senators. Right away, line up four guys on the blue line.
Yeah, they forecheck stop.
This is just going to be done now.
Yep.
But Hammond would have gotten a Hattie in this one.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of thoughts on this game. This game brought out the fandom. Well, first off.
Oh, man, did it ever.
Eh? Well, the walls had to come crashing down at some point, and this was it. The whole past 2 weeks, this amazing, magical run was leading up to this game. This was the chance to pull within 3 points and have a game in hand on the people who are trying to hurdle. But even if you win this game and that happens, it's still like a 33% chance to get in the playoffs. So you and that's why I say you really did have to win this game. So in my mind, sorry, I think it's over. I'm not being defeatist. I'm just saying, sorry, that was it. You had to win that game. So
well, it just makes
it's still
it makes
mathematically possible, but sorry, you had to win that game.
I wasn't expecting them to make the playoffs anyway. I'm just enjoying the hockey.
No, but everything led up to that point. So you have all the people that are upset, you know, Hammond versus Anderson. We can get into that. You can also, I'm going to take a different route to start.
Okay.
To me, that was for the Senators. It wasn't for Boston, but for the Senators, that was kind of like a game seven. It kind of was. Like you can play it down, but they had to win that game. Ottawa's never won a game seven, and it just felt like it. That's what I was watching. It's like they played actually pretty well. They had great scoring chance. They had a lot of shots, but they just couldn't get it done. It was like those games versus the Leafs 10 years ago. It's like, wow, we're playing well, but we just can't get it done. And it just brought it all back. It's like, yep, that's Ottawa.
They had to lose at some point.
Yeah.
But why that game?
But at least they didn't dump on the ice on this one, though.
Some people thought they were, but they think it was just frustration at the score.
Yeah.
And they forgot how quickly Tuukka Rask was playing out of his mind. Like he was robbing point blank, wide open net shots.
He's a very good goaltender.
Yeah. He won the Vezina last year, then.
Yeah.
He's kind of good.
He was doing what Hammond was doing on the
trip. He was great. Yeah. I tweeted that one too.
He really was.
Just unbelievable.
Yeah. Boston and Montreal have something in common. They'll go as far as their goalie takes them. Because you take Rask out of that net, or you take Price out of the one in Montreal, kiss the team goodbye.
I fully agree.
Kiss the team goodbye.
If Rask was not playing last night, it would have been, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but that's like
3-3 or something. Yeah. And 3-4.
But that's another reason why Rask didn't play the game before. They bench him and they put in their backup against Detroit. Because they knew that the Ottawa game was more important.
It was for them. We were breathing down their neck.
Yeah.
So why would we put in our third string goalie?
Why would we put in our third string
goalie? People are really, really mad about Anderson being started instead of Hammond.
Why would you? I'm not at all. I think it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
I'm torn. Yeah. I'm kind of torn on this one. Like in the sense that, first of all, I knew going in, I was not going to have a problem with whoever they started because both of them are great goalies. Anderson's been the most consistent player this season. In terms of production. Now, I know we forget about it because of that great streak. And it's like, okay, he's come back from injury. Is he ready yet? It sounds like he started pretty good against Calgary, and then the whole team folded in front of him. Whatever.
Yeah.
But here's what I was thinking.
Well, do you want to read Mueller Doctor's email? Because this is...
Is this going? Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to do that?
Yeah, do that.
You want me to read it?
It's got your name on it. I'm not reading anything this week.
Okay. Here we go. So we got an email from... Paul, a.k.a. Mueller Doctor. Hey, guys. Sens almost threw me in a curveball there. Almost threw me a curveball. I need to make my font bigger here.
He's got a couple of...
I got to lean forward. That's okay. I had counted on them. I counted them out when they lost to Carolina, Leonard's last game, and seven other times before that. Yeah, you and me too. But with that awesome Western swing and Hammond's stellar performances, I really thought they had a chance until yesterday. Our Sens were nervous as hell in the first period. You wouldn't think that pros wouldn't get nervous in March. It just goes to show you how young a team we have. I have to admit, when Bruins scored their first goal, I was convinced that it would snap the Sens out of their trance and they would take over, which they did. But the Bruins are the ones who scored two more. Not counting the first period. I have absolutely no issue with the Sens' play from last night. They actually showed me they are better than the Bruins, but not as experienced and without Tuukka. Yeah. Speaking of goalies, does anyone really believe that with Hammond in net, we would have won that game? We scored one goal. Goaltending was the issue last night, just not our goaltending. I could write 1,200 words to explain my point of view on this, but I won't. Steve Warren's tweet hit the nail on the head. It read, Anderson is the proven slugger. Hammond is the .214 hitter, having an incredible month.
You don't know baseball. .214 hitter.
I got it.
Yep.
I just read it wrong. There's no way he could sustain this. It's impossible. So what if last night was the night it blew up? One thing I learned early in coaching is when you lose, you want to lose with your proven players. You always look bad when you lose with gut feelings. When you do, everyone second guesses you, and most of the time with reason. But now people are slamming Coach Dave for losing with his number one proven goalie. Does that make any sense? Dave Cameron made the right decision in going with Andy, no doubt. As for tomorrow's game, I really feel he can go either way. Tomorrow's against the Habs. They have nothing to lose, really, so if they want to see what Hammond can do, be my guest. If it explodes, I'll be here to say I told you so. At least it won't be in the most important game of the year. If it works, good. But as soon as we get close again, you have to go back to Andy. P.S. Personally, I'd like to go with Andy in Montreal because he owns the Bell Center and have Hammond in New York. Go Sens, go Molnar Doctor. Yeah, good call. Perfect on timing. Point.
Oh, very much so. And I cannot fault the coach for making the decision to go with Anderson.
I don't fault him for it.
Not at all.
That is, as a team, probably the best choice.
This is the right game to play him.
Yeah.
But I actually did kind of hope they would go with Hammond. Now, it would not have made a difference last night. Absolutely. And if they had lost, he's right. This dialogue would have came up. Why didn't you go with your proven guy?
It was a no-win situation.
But
if the team did not win, whatever decision Cameron made was the wrong one.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But here's why. Because Hammond was the one that got them to this magical moment chance. Right or wrong, he was. Is he the best guy? Probably not. I don't think so. But he got him there. I said, you know what? You got us here. Run with it. And just see where it goes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What if
we make the playoffs? Then what do you do?
Oh, it was going to stop. His streak was going to stop. It's just a matter of when. And we just never found out when.
This game was
Well, technically his streak is still going. The team's win streak isn't going, but his is.
I meant his streak.
Well, his streak's still going.
So I would have thrown the dice in with the Bruins, right. But
no, that's.
And I mean, quite frankly, tomorrow
you look at it, a one-goal game.
Play. Anderson is very good against Montreal. Mm-hmm. Hammond won our last game against Montreal, did he not?
Yes.
So whichever one goes in tomorrow, I'm okay with. But
Hammond's undefeated.
I want to see both of them over the next two games, because tomorrow and Friday are back-to-back, one in Montreal and one in Long Island.
If it was me, I would play Hammond tomorrow.
I would.
Because you want to hide Anderson from the Habs in the case that we make the playoffs and we play them. You don't get exposure to playing against Anderson.
They know him.
Still, I don't think they've played him very much this year, if any. But two, the Islanders are a lot more offensive than the Habs.
Oh, certainly lately. Montreal can't score at the moment. They got shut out twice. They got shut out last night. They got shut out twice in California.
I prefer Hammond playing against Montreal.
I'm fine with it.
And Anderson playing against the Islanders just because you can't stop Tavares.
I just felt the home fans needed one more Hamburglar moment.
They may get it.
Whatever.
They may get it.
No, but, you know, just at that point. But then I get it, though. What if Hammond did steal the game? And they won. That's like, well, we just keep riding this guy. They whip that horse till he dies, but he can't. You had to make this call at one point. But
no, the other thing is, like, if you wanted to run it.
And it wasn't Hammond's first game of not being in the net.
Correct.
It was Anderson's second game back. So.
Oh, but he lost it, right? Like, he almost lost the game. They were up 4-0, and he let four in.
No, even the team in front of him let four in.
No, but that's
they
what
were bad.
That's what, you know, some fandoms. Well,
yes.
And they're in every city, right?
You can look at the box score and make your own decisions.
Exactly.
Kevin Lee took this worse than anyone.
Kevin Lee?
Oh, yeah. He was furious.
Oh, dear.
Oh, with all the goalie rage?
Yeah.
That's the uneducated. Well, no, I want to say
he
that.
He was on Camp Anderson on this one, but.
Oh.
Yeah.
He did a search for Hammond and regretted it.
Oh. Uh-oh.
Anyway. Or Anderson. Yeah, there's people tweeting Anderson, swearing at him and stuff.
Ridiculous.
You mean like swearing at him on Twitter?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that is the classless, the classlessest, most classless. I'm trying to figure out. That is the worst thing that you can do as a fan.
It's a Leafs move.
On your own team.
I can find players on my own team and I'm going to curse at them on Twitter because I can find their account. Yeah. What are you going to,
it's next, almost as bad as going after their wives.
Or mother. Ridiculous. And classless and inexcusable. Like, there's no, well, I was just pissed off, or I just needed him to know that I was angry. Yeah. He doesn't know that he lost the game until you started, you know, tweeting F-bombs at him. That's what he needed.
Don't come home.
That's
kind of like that approach. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he liked that one.
Bad.
Now, Cardinal, there is a bit of good news to go with your conspiracy stats. It was 3-0 Boston, end of the second period.
Yeah.
Third period starts, and what song did they start playing?
I don't know.
No.
Avenged Sevenfold. Absolutely. Uh-huh. And Matt Pumple scored.
Yeah. Well, need more rock and roll. Bring them onto the ice for the second period, because this team does badly in the second period. Bring them on the ice for the second period with Avenged Sevenfold. And play lots of rock and roll.
Good, I really like the light song for some reason. I love that light song, and I really shouldn't.
Which song?
The one that he plays at the start of the second.
Light song?
Lights. It's the artist. It's like
Up We Go?
It's like a 16-year-old girl.
Oh.
Don't know it. Anyway. It all sounds the same to me. I admit it.
Racist. Never mind.
It's like all Chinese foods taste the same, too. Yeah. Chicken feet, chicken balls. Oh.
I figured out why this is just a completely off topic, since we're already off topic of everything. Your petition for changing a street name, which you started a while ago.
Yeah.
Got to put that on hold.
Oh, it's dead now.
Well, I know it's dead, but I mean, if it wasn't, we'd have to put it on hold. Why would you want to rename a street out here if the arena's moving downtown?
Yeah.
So, it'd be pointless.
He's got the key of the city now. He can just do whatever he wants.
Where's the vault? Where's the vault for street signs? I'm going to change this one. Sir John A. McDonald Parkway is now the Daniel Alfredson Parkway.
You should just wield that power. Huh? Crazy.
Huh? Can change it once, we can change it again. Anywho, there's been no information, at least I haven't seen anything, on time frame for returns of Chris Neal is weeks. Zach Smith is, he's taking some drills, but he's still in a non-contact sweater, so there's no time frame for him. And
does he fit?
Well, I don't know. Well, where does he fit, or where does somebody else in this team who's playing right now fit?
I think Pumple's going to be in the minors next year.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's.
He's not ready for this.
No.
I would say
if
we were to have a winger up here, it would be Shane Prince, not him.
Mm-hmm. I am excited to see. I'm very excited to see Buddy Robinson.
I'd like to see Buddy Robinson up here before the end of the season.
I was really hoping to see him tomorrow against Montreal.
Yeah, that'd be fine. I've seen in the past week, I have seen nothing on Leonard or MacArthur. Nothing.
No.
No word, no nothing.
Strange, huh? Nope.
All that Murray said was MacArthur's better off than Leonard.
MacArthur has progressed better, but is still showing symptoms. That's the last thing he said.
Wow.
But Leonard.
This was over a month ago, or almost a month ago.
Well, it's right before that hot streak.
Yep.
Which is taking over the news.
Yeah. Yep. It's February 16th, I think.
There you go. Bad. So there's no information on that.
But with Leonard too. Sorry, with Leonard too, because he's a goalie. You have to be fully recovered, because if you take a puck to the head again, you're done. You could die.
Well, yes, head injuries when you already have a brain injury are.
Yeah. So
I know. Not a good thing. It's a scary thought, actually.
Did you notice the game against Calgary? The camera kept panning up to Murray in the press box. He was next to Daniel Alfredson. They're constantly showing the two of them together. They watched that game together. Well, you were at this game, you would have noticed it.
I didn't really notice it all that much, but I was kind of listening to the TV rather than necessarily being in front of it.
So anyway, like Alfredson was up sitting with Murray watching that game, the whole thing, and they showed them several times. I think they actually had an Alfie moment.
They did have an Alfie moment
they did.
At the game. He was taking a tutorial on how to scout.
Yeah, he was interested in that sort of thing.
Yeah.
That thought just evaporated.
Really on.
That thought just evaporated too.
Oh, wow.
Blank.
Moving along.
You pointed at me. We're talking about MacArthur. And
I don't remember what it was.
So. How appropriate. That we forgot what we're doing when we're talking about head injuries.
I use it as an excuse for a lot of things. I put a show note in here that you don't really understand, I think, which is the name Matt O'Connor.
Yep.
Matt O'Connor is a free agent goaltender attending Boston University. He's 6'5". He is he's undrafted, and he is the top NCAA free agent in the league. Like that, he's the one that everybody's after.
Yep.
And
we're in the sweepstakes, so to speak.
Ottawa's been in. Well, he was actually at one of our development camps, I think, 2 summers ago.
Really?
Possibly 3. Okay. Yeah, he's been here before. He knows the organization as well. So there's another. You know, depending on if we land him or not,
we need someone else in the system. I think.
Well, the Hogberg's going to be fine, apparently.
Yeah, but not next year in the minors, will he?
Maybe.
Minors, yeah.
Yeah, he's playing.
He's coming over to the AHL next year.
He's playing.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, good.
He's in tier two Swedish elite. Well, not Swedish elite league. He's in Allsvenskan, which is tier two in Sweden. So he should be over here next year. Mm-hmm. And there may be other Swedes in Binghamton with him because Clayson's there, but we may have Andreas Englund with him. And I don't know
all the guys are going to come over.
I don't know about Tobias
Lindberg,
who's in Oshawa. I don't know if he'll be in. I don't know how old he is, to be honest.
He's probably going to be an overage.
They should open up an IKEA in Binghamton.
Could do. Sell some meat, or just a meatball stand. There you go.
If you wanted to, did you want to talk about this? I don't think we're going to get
No, that was just all I was getting into, is we may have another goaltender.
No, there's other teams that...
Yes, but if he likes us...
That's going to be hard to crack the NHL.
Well, depends on what happens in the NHL, because we were talking about it... I think via text the other day, it's going, well, maybe it's not, depending on how everything works out for the rest of the season, maybe it's, oh no, sorry, it was a conversation I was having with Russell. My apologies. Maybe okay. Maybe Leonard is the person who's moved out.
Coming off this head injury, I think it might be.
Well, not just coming off the head injury.
In fandom, he has taken number 3 spot now.
Well... Yes, but out of sight, out of mind. As soon as he comes back, it'll be, we want him back, we want him back. He's the number one, get rid of Anderson.
The other thing is Hogberg is exactly like him.
The conversation I was having with Russell was, we have a guy who we know is at least serviceable in Hammond. He's serviceable. He's not necessarily a goalie of the future, but he's serviceable as a backup.
Or he's got a horseshoe up his butt.
At most, an Alex Auld.
Yeah, well, he's serviceable.
Yeah.
But that means that the hot-headed, non-progressing in development goalie could be expendable for the right price. He's what?
I still don't believe that he's not progressing.
Those numbers aren't getting better.
Better?
But that's also because he's only letting out 2 rebounds instead of 4. So your save percentage drops on that.
I don't think the team's getting up on Leonard, but here's what I wouldn't mind seeing.
But then with that, too, it's...
But,
oh, you could get a good return for him.
Exactly.
Well, you know
what you get back for him.
Leonard?
Yeah.
I'm actually waiting for some team, and you know some team is going to try, to make a ridiculously attractive offer for Hammond.
No. People aren't idiots in the league. They know what he is.
Some people are idiots.
No one's going to take him. And you're even at that.
McTavish.
Edmonton, yeah.
You need a goalie.
But the thing is, I'm also nervous about running. Well, I guess you could still draft, but with a. Anderson's going to be 34 and a 28 year old.
Can't say.
I don't know.
Well, we'd have a 21. How old? You know,
we expect Leonard to reach peak at 20 or 21? 26.
21?
28.
Probably 20.
I think he turns 21 this year.
Leonard?
No, Hogberg.
Hogberg. Like, what's the magic number for goalies? 26? 28?
27. 27.
Right around where Hammond is. So that's the sweet spot for a goaltender. Except
they normally dominate their league when they make it up here.
True, but he's also late to the professional leagues because he went through 4 years of university. He didn't. Yeah. He didn't start playing at as a 21-year-old.
Yeah.
So, you know,
it's, yeah, well, it's,
Matt O'Connor would be the same sort of thing. He's played 4 years at BU because he wasn't drafted. So he went and got himself an education. And
but he's also led his league.
Hmm?
He's leading his league, right?
He's a very good goaltender there, yeah?
Yeah.
But Hammond's number in college were pretty good, too. Were they stellar? No, but he was taken as a free agent out of university because they were certainly the Senators as an organization were interested enough to go, hey, this guy could really fit in. We could use him as a good piece. Is he necessarily starting NHL? Don't know.
No.
But he doesn't cost us anything. Like, he doesn't cost us a draft pick. He doesn't cost us a trade.
Yeah.
So take a flyer and see what happens. Just like every draft pick, except they cost you a draft pick. Mm-hmm. Same sort of thing.
Well, yeah, these free players are great. They're great.
Well, if you get a shot at them, why not?
Yeah.
Well, if they don't work out, okay.
Like DaCosta, Greening was
one? No, Greening was a draft pick.
Oh, he was, okay.
Yeah. No, Jesse Winchester was
Winchester.
A free agent.
Sorry, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, Pachensky.
Yeah, Brandon, there's another one.
Pachensky.
But, you know, 100% of the shots you don't take don't go in.
Butler, yes.
So if you take the shot and it goes, okay. If you take the shot and it doesn't work, well, it's good Corsi. It's not a goal. It's good Corsi. Yeah, can you have Corsi for draft?
Sure. You have
draft picks?
One thing that I'm actually interested on is will there be a defection from the KHL?
Hard to say.
Just because of how Russia is right now.
I was hearing, what did I hear about the KHL the other day? Teams are going to be folding.
Are folding, yeah.
And so there'll be less income to go around. And I don't remember which one it was, but there was one that actually, there was a couple of names, like known names on that team. I went, well, maybe they'll end up on their feet at some
point.
Who
was that guy that came back 2 years ago to Nashville? Is it Larionov?
No.
R.
Oh, yes.
Rajilov.
Something of.
And he came back basically to play 15 games to figure out, to fulfill the last year of his contract so that he could be a free agent and, yeah.
Then for the next time he wants to come by.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, he's burned a lot of bridges with that one. Big surprise. We were talking briefly about Daniel Alfredson. We should cover that at least briefly. He was here to get the key to the city.
Oh, okay, we're going back to that.
Yeah. Not just briefly.
That we're done.
Which was a nice moment.
Yep.
Ridiculously colored blue suit, though.
Yeah,
he
should not have chosen blue.
Yeah, not an attractive suit, but I mean it's very fashionable. It just
he's European. When
I know.
Yeah, doesn't work for me. But
yeah,
it was
the deputy mayor reads like I do.
Well, the mayor fell off a sled. He was on a snow machine.
How disappointing!
How do you fall off a snow machine?
Oh, you go too fast.
It's not hard to fall off a snow machine. It's not hard to fall off a snow machine.
I've never fallen off one.
Was he driving?
Have you ever been mayor?
No.
Well, there you go.
I don't know whether he was.
There's a lot of waving.
He's probably jumping off to go to his next event.
I've been on the back of a snow machine. I've not always been driving them, but I've also driven them at over 100 kilometers an hour. I didn't fall off then.
No, I mean, they are pretty.
I'm glad I didn't, because that would have hurt.
Yeah, you could have broken a hip.
I would have broken a lot at that speed. It was fun, but it was terrifying at the same time. But
this guy's a mayor. He's not a, I don't know.
Actually, he tweeted out a really nice picture the other day of his convalescent home, as he called it, is in the same building as the residence where his father lives. So they were comparing their wheelchairs. Which was it was a really heartfelt moment. Like, okay, that's nice. I like that. Well done. Hmm. But no, it's just a nice moment to have. You know, it's a nice honor to bestow upon the former captain of our team. And it was a great excuse to have him back in the city again.
It's the right thing to do.
So it's the third time he's been to Ottawa this year, or this hockey season.
And
there's
a lot of questions coming up about his future with the team.
And or whether he will move here, yeah.
And no answers yet, but the fact is, you know, that seed is obviously strongly planted, that they want him.
Oh, yeah.
He's even been asked directly, would you like to be the GM? Now, not by anyone of an authority, but not by the senators, but by reporters and stuff. You're interested in that?
Oh, good God, no.
He doesn't want to be. He said he's not qualified for that.
He needs to breathe. But the other thing that he said in his speech in the key ceremony, at the key party.
Easy.
Nah, that's what it was, wasn't it? Anyways. It's like, this is going to be, like, I just want to take time, and it's kind of hard to get back into things with four young kids at this time.
Yeah. And he's
so you know, this could be years.
Well, he said that a couple of times when he's been here for other things. Like, I'm really enjoying spending time with my kids, which I didn't get to do for so much of their life.
Yep.
I was at the Queensway Carlton four times, but after that, I didn't spend a lot of time with them, and I'm really enjoying this, and it's really important to me. Well, you're thinking about moving back to Ottawa? Well, at the moment, there are three options that seem to be the main three, which is stay in Detroit.
Somehow.
You'd probably have to find a job.
Buy a residency.
Well, he'd have to buy a job.
Actually, you know what? That's true, because he can get his skilled worker visa very easily.
So it's either stay in Detroit or come back to Ottawa or go to Sweden. And those are the three that we're juggling. I mean, we lived here for so long. My kids were born here. They have tons of friends here. My family is here.
Extended.
You know, this is where we were home. This is home for a lot of years. Detroit is where we are now. We have ties to Sweden as well, and we're just not really sure how it's going to work at the moment.
And I don't think Sweden's going to work out because of their kids.
Well, their kids are too Canadian or too North American at least.
Well, he could take a job with the Senators, which isn't like a full-time travel like with the team.
BS just a scout job in Michigan. Go watch them NCAA games.
Sure.
Yeah. Or
we'll pay you $30,000, whatever, but just get you on payroll.
Scout games in Detroit and Chicago, because, I mean, that's a quick hop. I'm sure you could get a flight from Chicago to Detroit at the end of the game to get home and be there the next morning.
Well, even if you did move back here, let's say, you know, have a job where, you know, you come into the office a couple times a month, maybe around, you know, signing times. You're a little bit more active and you're, you know, maybe involved with, you know, negotiations and talking to players and trying to attract them, but that's it. You know,
I would love him as my ticket rep.
Yeah.
But he could also do some scouting work because you can get a lot of different plays from here.
This is Daniel. I understand you found your section too loud.
You're looking to be moved? Oh, let's see if we have anything like that.
Probably not.
Probably not. You want other seats in the first row of the 319.
They're moving that section anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what my guy keeps telling me. It's like, they're moving. Stop talking to me about this.
At the GM spring meeting that's coming up, every year they honor a longtime manager of a team, and this year it will be Brian Murray.
That's the right thing to do.
Right thing to do. And he was asked recently whether he would be back next year, and he said, well, I need to talk to my wife about that. She's almost more important what she thinks about it than what I do.
Yeah, with all due respect, I'd like to see him go.
I'd like to see him go while he still has a decent quality of life. But the decent quality of life may be because he's still working.
Yep.
So
I think that might be it.
I'm not thinking about him, the person. I'm just thinking about the team. Not complaining about the work he's doing, but the road he's down now, the reins have to be handed over. And the longer you hold on to it, I think the more awkward it gets.
Not really. He's got two assistants. They do all the legwork, and he just goes to approve it.
So he's a rubber stamper now?
Yeah.
I think a lot of it, yeah. The two AGMs do, and he's actually said it, they do it, like, they are, their portfolio, really, they are responsible for it, because which one is Bingo? That's Randy Lee, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And Pierre Dorion handles all the contract stuff.
Okay, so, well, if the successor is one of those, then I'm not in a hurry. I take that back.
Could be.
I'm Hard thinking if they're, if we're trying to attract outside talent. Like a
don't
outside talent, like Shiro or something.
Yeah, but they also know how to run things themselves.
Yeah, hard to say.
Sure,
so we won't know.
Okay, shoot that down.
That's what we do.
That's what. Well, we could argue about it for a while if you like.
Paul.
The last episode we were talking about the trade deadline, and there was one really neat or really somewhat poignant, funny, whatever you want to call it, story, which we didn't get a chance to talk about because I didn't write it down, which was Jordan Leopold's daughter, Jordan.
Oh, yeah.
Wrote a letter. Now, they live in Minnesota, and he was playing in...
Did we not talk about this?
I don't think we did. Because the story didn't really fully come out until
Columbus,
sort of the next day.
Well, we sort of did talk about it, but not the full, like...
Oh, then never mind. The only thing I wanted to add to it then was that the front office didn't actually see the letter from her until the trade was already completed. It came into them in the afternoon, like the people actually making the trade. They had no idea that she had written it because it had gone to a radio station. But they saw it afterwards and went,
so the whole thing's bunk?
No, no, it's real. She really did write it.
No, I understand, but it didn't cause anything?
They didn't see it. It didn't affect their decision-making
media
process
got
at
a
all.
Hold of it on time.
Yeah. Because she sent it to, yeah. Like, she sent the original to them, but it got out to the radio stations and so on. But the actual decision-makers didn't know of the letter's actual existence.
You know,
it was caught up in the front, you know, front office.
So how did... Well,
you know what we did talk about?
30 teams of trade around.
Can't say. Okay. It worked. It happened.
The thing that happened on trade deadline day with TSN. Yeah, I don't know how much of interest it is to our listeners, but it was an interesting story. I picked up on it a little late to the party, but you know, the tweet, you know, the whole, like, use the hashtag and it got up on the TSN ticker and it had libel in it. So
yes, that was a,
it did involve
that was a
Leafs.
Classless thing to do. Well, number
yeah,
one.
This is like the Brian Burke thing. It's like he's going to file court documents versus Poon Buddy 23 or something like that.
Well, they managed to actually identify this person for real.
Yes.
Yes.
He came out and apologized.
And then you know what happened? And then Joffrey Lupul started to threaten him on Instagram. Log off.
Oh, professional athletes. Well that's the thing. Like so the parties involved were...
I thought that was somebody else. I didn't realize it was
Lupul, Diamfanoff, and his wife, Alicia
Cuthbert.
Again.
And, yeah. And they... you know, obviously, clearly upset with TSN, as it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where that's going or if it is, but they are also going after that fan.
As they should.
The tweet, the actual person who wrote the tweet.
I don't know if anything's going to come of that.
No, well, because what has come with that sense is that he went off Twitter for a while. He actually removed his account, I think, or came back on, and now he's back on. He actually apologized, and Alicia Cuthbert responded and said, yeah, that was very brave of you. Thank you. And it's all there, but I'm just thinking, wow, you know.
Wait, oh, the guy that wrote the tweet apologized?
Yes, the guy that wrote the tweet apologized. Yeah.
As did
TSN apologized.
TSN apologized for airing it. But yeah. What kind of process? I mean, if you're going to be doing this, there should be a
vetting process?
Exactly. There is for the scoreboard, yes. For anything that goes up with the scoreboard at the CTC, because you type it in, it doesn't automatically come up. I know I was trying to get a Sens call-ups one up there every time I was at a game last year. I managed it most of the time, yeah. Too. But there's obviously a process where they look through them and put these up. Exactly. Why is there not one for TSN?
Anyone
for
remember?
The most watched shows of the year.
Anybody remember the Maple Leafs website when
they did Sea of Blue?
That was a classic example of a blunder in this particular situation again.
That was the best.
Well, what they had that. Terrible. The Sens had that promotion. I don't really understand what they were doing over at the casino, like this the awkward hashtag Sens X Casino.
Sens X Casino, yeah. They looked like Sens Sexy Casino. I was like, what? I was, okay. I don't know. I still don't understand what was going on there either, to be honest.
They just had a viewing party at the casino.
Well, you know, yeah.
And you can play game. You can.
They just had a number of TVs just turned onto the game. But I think at one point they had people's tweets coming up there.
Yeah.
Because people are taking pictures and post them on Twitter. So it looked like they had...
Which I didn't know that you could take pictures at the casino.
I don't think you can.
Yeah.
Right? So
maybe they had it in a separate section in the casino?
Yeah, probably. It's probably locked off. But whatever. Like they had tweets going up and I think it was Kevin Lee was there.
Yeah.
And he was the one saying, like, oh, this is like Sea of Blue all over again, you know, because people's tweets are coming up.
I missed that.
You gotta watch it. You post. That's the bottom line.
Yes. You gotta make sure you not watch what you post, but watch what you put through.
Locked down.
Insanity. Oh well. Maybe TSN has learned their lesson from that one.
Yeah.
Oh,
Do you want to continue with Toronto since we're talking about them?
Sure.
Ivan doesn't want us
to. So the coaches are bad. The GM was bad. I don't even remember that.
Kadri's
GM
bad.
Was bad. Kadri's bad now. Kessel's bad. Finneff is bad.
Bozak's bad.
Bernier's an idiot.
But Morgan Riley. He's the future.
Because he's the new Jake Gardner, because Jake Gardner isn't the future.
Yeah, Jake Gardner's bad. That's right.
There's another one.
Jake Gardner doesn't have what it takes.
All the players they've traded away already, they were bad.
But then there's Connor McDavid, though. He might, if they get them.
Yeah.
If he goes there.
I made my thoughts clear on that last week.
They'll just be like, this is so fixed. It's so fixed.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I mean, it's time for them to win a goddamn lottery because Pittsburgh did.
Pittsburgh model.
I love it.
That's my best Brian Burke impression.
Oh, and I didn't even look this up.
What
else did you have for the Leafs?
Well, we were just talking about Kadri. Kadri was he sat out a game for being late to a team meeting on Sunday, and now he's going to be sitting out two more. I don't know if you heard this today.
I did hear that.
And it was Brendan Shanahan who was announcing it because Dave Nonis was in transit somewhere. And obviously this announcement had to happen whenever they decided it had to happen.
Which means that Dave Nonis had no idea about it.
Hard to say, but he's sitting out two additional games. Because apparently this is not an isolated incident. It's an ongoing problem that they really need him to start... acting his age and, you know, being more mature and taking a bigger role in this team and blah, blah, blah. We still like the guy, but, you know, he needs to be
he's
more
mature. He's got a history, apparently, even in OHL.
Exactly. He does. He's incredibly self-centered. It's all about him. He's not much of a team player. And actually, even one of the people on the radio today from here in Ottawa who's been doing OHL team, OHL games
for years.
It was Lever Sage.
Oh, Lever, yeah.
Lever Saatchi. My first thought when I heard this Shanahan announcement was, is this a contract negotiating ploy?
Yes.
Because Kadri is on a bridge contract. He's being paid $2.9 million this year. He's their number two center. Mm-hmm. He puts up points consistently, but if you give him a bad character rap, then you don't have to pay him as much.
And the rest of the league will think, ooh.
So do we want necessarily to trade for him? Now, if they were looking to trade him,
or offer him,
they wouldn't do it. If they were looking to trade him, they wouldn't do it because they would not let out all these character problems because they want as much for them. So apparently they want to keep him.
Yeah, but some jerk would totally offer sheet them.
Yeah.
Mm. Just to screw them up.
Maybe. Well, if some jerk does offer
sheet them. Here come the Oilers!
If some jerk does offer sheet him, they might go, okay, we'll take your first and second round picks next year and you can have
them. They would, but no, I think they would.
Well, the question was on the radio as a poll question is, knowing everything you know now, who would you pick? Cowan or Kadri?
Yeah, but everyone was saying Cowan.
Nope. Everyone was saying Kadri except Lever Sage.
Well, that was just that was a survey of the people on the radio, yeah.
Oh, no.
I don't want to get into that tonight.
Is he the problem in that team? Is he the problem?
Oh,
nobody
no.
might
I think
no,
he's
no,
one
no.
of the pieces you can work around or yeah, build yeah. around.
If his character improves, yes. If a lot of what's being said about him is true.
How many guys were the same?
Well.
At 24.
We just saw one get moved.
Yeah. But they're the same age, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Kane's a much better hockey player, though, but.
But they seem to be cut from a similar cloth.
Patrick Kane.
Yeah. Got in trouble.
He was always in trouble. Partying and punching
yes,
out
but
taxi
he's also,
drivers.
He's also turned himself around.
Because he's older now.
He switched to Uber.
Like
there's not so much reporting with Uber. Nice. No.
You throw young 20-year-olds millions of dollars.
Ugh.
To play for the Leafs when you're from Toronto.
Yep. Well, you get to be a rock star, but he's...
make it rain.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll have to see.
All right, enough Leafs.
I want to talk about Buffalo for a second.
I just can't wait to get to the Blue Jackets, but yeah.
Okay, we'll get to the Blue Jackets afterwards.
Okay.
And then I have to talk about Nashville after the Blue Jackets.
Okay.
Buffalo. They've had, I believe it's four other first-round picks in the... in the past two seasons, and they're going to have two more this year.
Yep.
One of which will be either McDavid or Eichel. I think that's fairly safe to assume. Yep. It's going to be one of them.
Mm-hmm. Now they're 2 points behind Edmonton now.
They have a lot of prospects because they've had so many draft picks. They have an unbelievably wealthy owner.
Yes.
Terry Pergula, take away the fact that he owns the Buffalo Sabres and the Buffalo Bills. He still is worth more than $1 billion, not including those two assets.
Unbelievable, eh?
So, if you...
And he's spent money on this team before.
Exactly. That's where Babcock's going.
Does Babcock want to live there?
He lives in Detroit. He's got...
The other one that I've heard is Pittsburgh.
A ton of prospects, a ton of young prospects, which could be traded for pieces if they want to build the team faster. But
you know what?
A ton of prospects. And who's It's not Randy Cunningworth anymore. I just had the name and it forgot it. The coach in Rochester.
It's, yeah, it must be Cunningworth.
It was Cunningworth before he went to Montreal. I don't. Did he go back there?
I don't know.
What about the guy from over in Gatineau? Olympics.
No, not ready. He can't compete with Babcock on that.
No, not for the Sabres. To Roo? Take over the minor league.
Yeah.
Take over Rochester Americans.
I don't remember who's over there. That's what I can't remember. Okay. But I mean, Babcock wants money. Pergula is willing to spend. Because he's already doing that with, well, let's see. Let's just take a little side trip away from the Sabres for a second. You'll get this one.
Chad Cassidy's the American.
How much have Buffalo Bills spent in free agency and trades in the past week? Buffalo's
I
been pulling.
Been following this week, but.
Oh, they've been pulling in some pretty big names and some pretty big money and dropping some pretty serious coin to improve that team.
I know they were pretty screwed on the coaching switchover, right?
Well, it's. I think they'll be doing. I can't off the top of my head tell you who they brought in the past week because I haven't been following it super closely because there have been so many names moving around in the NFL because it's free agency. But they have been spending money, and obviously Pergula's behind that saying, okay, you know, do this. And I would not be surprised if he's saying the same thing
that is
in the NHL.
Interesting. That's
because it's Buffalo. It's not the media crap show that Toronto is.
You could actually do your job there.
And a ton of young talent and a GM who's very shrewd.
If you can get shoveled out, you can actually do your job there.
Yeah, but you only have to wait a week and it all melts anyway. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I think that's, and I think that Tim Murray will be trading this summer for Patrick Sharp.
And being Ooh. From the Wings, you can go to Buffalo and eat wings.
Yep, exactly.
I really wish Cap Geek was still here. NHL numbers sucks.
2 years left. 5.7.
No, but I want to see their depth, but they probably don't have any.
They have a lot of, they have spots open on their roster.
Hodgson is their, granted they've got him down on like fourth line.
They have two availabilities on their blue line I can think of, Mazaros and Benoit.
They've got a lot more too because they've got guys playing tonight that they didn't want.
Yeah, they're going to have more, they're going to have spaces. But I mean, they also have the young prospects, which if Chicago's saying, well, we were looking for something back, here you go. We'll take Patrick Sharp. Because they already have Evander Kane and Patrick Sharp and a ton of young prospects and. Hello, Mike Babcock. We need you to come in and coach this. Mm. And we will pay you $6 million a year.
Could see it happen.
That seems very attractive.
Without the media firestorm.
The only thing is I think Babcock just wants to be the first coach to win a cup with three teams.
Well, it depends on how patient he is. Don't bother trying to do that in Toronto.
Amherst head coach is Chad Cassidy.
Who?
Chad Cassidy.
In where?
Amherst.
Chad Cassidy.
Rochester?
Yeah. Okay, I don't know that name at all. I must have been thinking of back when somebody before that.
Cunningworth. And the Sabres just beat Toronto in the shootout.
Whoa. Really? That's so that brings them very close to Edmonton at the bottom of the standings, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's how bad Toronto is.
They can't lose to a deliberately tanking
team. We only beat them 3-2. Hello. Yeah, any given
and
team
we got to play the Leafs
night.
Three times now.
Well, I'm okay with that.
Battle of the garbage.
Whatever. Whatever.
Oh, well. Anyway, we're not in a playoff race now, so I don't think so. It'll be fun to watch.
That was my comment on Buffalo. I was thinking about this earlier this week, so I wanted to throw it out there. You wanted to talk about Columbus.
Well, that's a better story than what mine is.
Tell your story.
I'm pretty sure your note is the same as mine.
For Columbus?
David Clarkson.
I wrote it down for you. Yeah, Columbus. You want to talk about Clarkson?
I know what it is.
I don't know if you know about this yet, if you followed it at all.
He's hurt. He's out for the season.
Yeah. So now that contract is insured. So the Blue Jackets probably save about $3 to $4 million now.
It's still a good trade for the Blue Jackets because they didn't get someone on the ice, but they get an insured contract now.
So because he's hurt, it's insurance paying it. So they don't have to pay it themselves.
Yep.
I hadn't thought it that far through. Well, that's clever.
And you also know how he hurt himself?
I heard, but I can't remember.
By being a dick.
Oh.
Okay, you're going to have to go expand on this.
You want to elucidate
on that
just a little.
Because he already left the Toronto Maple Leafs, so that was established.
So there's a scrum behind the net. So just a little tussle, and he wouldn't give up. He got himself a 10-minute misconduct for just like essentially, well, not fighting because they didn't drop. Yeah, being a jerk. So in the tussle, he half-ladded himself and hurt himself for the rest of the year.
Half-ladded. What happened?
Remember half-ladded broke his shoulder by throwing a punch?
No.
Or dislocated his arm?
Dislocated his shoulder by throwing a punch, yeah.
You know, I liked this AL last week, but this week?
No.
I'm not so fond of it.
Wow. Yeah.
Maybe you were more thirsty. You did chase your coffee with it.
True. I did that last week, too.
Oh, okay.
I had one other thing I wanted to talk about, which is a completely off-topic story. So this
is what happens. We're on the same page.
This is what happens occasionally.
Yeah.
Last Thursday at a Nashville Predators game. How's that for an opening line?
Last Thursday at a Preds game.
At a Preds game. There was an 11-year-old girl by the name of Mia Wood who, for her birthday, said, "I want to go to a Predators game." So they went. She and her family went, and in the first period. A deflected puck got flipped up over the glass and it hit her in the arm. And there was a puck that was actually deflected off Pecorine. I don't know exactly how a puck deflected off the goalie got up over the netting and hit this little girl, but it did.
Blocker side high.
Exactly. Okay, sure. At the next stoppage in play, Rene skated over and checked on her.
Oh, that's nice.
Because he's, you know, I don't really send pucks out of the playing surface very often, so he just wanted to make sure that she was okay. And then everything was fine. He took one of his goaltender sticks and autographed it and had it delivered to her.
Nice.
Because he found out it was her birthday. So like, here you go. Like, what a great thing to do. Well, I deflected a puck and it hit this little girl, so I wanted to make sure she was okay. I found out it was her birthday, so I sent her an autographed goalie stick.
Oh, no. You know what it is, too? And I believe it's Nashville. The reason that the Nets are up there is because a girl went for her birthday party and she got hit and died.
Was it in Nashville? I thought you were going there with that story.
I think it was in Nashville.
I don't know.
So that's close to home for the team, but still... Very good of him to do. Especially with a deflected puck, like it's not going to hurt.
Well, you'd hope not, but...
Yeah.
Anyway, I just thought it was just one of those feel-good stories, like, okay, what a decent human being thing to do. I'm trying to get back to my notes here.
We got an email from Ivan.
We have an email from Ivan, okay. Yeah. We should have probably read it earlier, but that's okay.
Okay.
Over to you.
Great. From Ivan. Subject, email the shoot.
Email the shoe. It's a
Newfie accent.
Well, I was going to say either Newfie or Ed Sullivan. Got a really big shoe.
I would assume
you.
That it's Newfie. Really big shoe. Are we going to play music behind this one?
Oh. Just go.
Okay, fine. Hey, guys. I died. Hey, guys. Your friendly neighborhood pantless Newfie here. All right.
There's a metal image I don't need.
Does anyone remember back before the Cali trip when the Sens were irrelevant because... We were a middle-of-the-road team and not worth a mention anywhere? Well, that's changed now. The Sens are in the most important and focused upon part of the regular season, the playoff bubble. Sure, we like to pretend we care who's ranked 2-7. That wasn't a sentence. Sure, we like to pretend we care who teams ranked 2-7 are going to be matched up-wise. But the real story is 8. Yes, the newly christened wildcard positions. The only real story of the second half of the regular season for the media, unless you count the horrible mess just down the road. The Sens are once again playing some great hockey and writing wonderful third act to their season. Here's hoping there's a sequel with the word playoffs in it. Get used to being under the microscope for every aspect of your team's game, Sens fans. It comes with being relevant.
That's true. It's true.
Well said.
I really don't know about you guys, but I lap up all the attention, good and bad. Could be a Leafs fan. And pour it into the tub of Sens goodness and soak it for hours. It's weird. Sorry about that. If you don't like it, off the bandwagon and stay out of my tub. Let's get off my tub, but that's fine. Ivan J. White.
Thank you, Ivan.
It's a really good point. Like, outside of Toronto, where everything's in a fishbowl, if people are talking and we're being psychoanalyzed and going through this much detail on the Sens, that's because there's something relevant to talk about.
Well, when I arrived, it was between the TV was on.
Yes,
pointing
I saw
over
it.
The television, and it was the
Toronto game.
It was Buffalo Toronto game, and they were doing it was Panger and who's the other one? Kiprios?
Yes.
And you know they each have to take one side of an argument. Who's the more? Who's the bigger story? And one of them was who's the bigger story right now? Dubnyk or Hammond?
Hammond.
And Hammond, of course. And they give that one to the goalie, Darren Pang, former Ottawa 67. And Panger took the Hammond side, and he, with the sort of instant listener poll, he won it. So,
oh, did he? Okay.
They were actually talking about an Ottawa Senator during a Leafs game, rather than the other way around, which is nice. Like,
oh yeah, that's a guy we need. He's undefeated. Let's give him Kadri, that piece of garbage.
I'd make that trade. But then I'd trade Kadri to somewhere else and get something else back, but I'd make that trade for sure. No, I agree, Ivan. It's I'm finding the hockey is entertaining, and that's all I really care about.
That's kind of nice.
That's all I care about.
And you know what? That's got to be a lot more positive for the team, too.
Yeah.
Apparently, the viewership was down with the Leafs game on the weekend.
It's been down for the Leafs for a while, yeah.
It's bad.
Well, it's bad for
That's telling, though, because that's, you know, it's a fandom that's pretty loyal.
It's also, I think, partly due to how bad the broadcast is.
That it really is a
step
down. I think
they have the same people, though, don't they?
It
the same play-by-plays.
Well, it's not just the play-by-play. It's the whole, for me, it's the whole package. Like, I think the between, like, the intermission stuff, I mean, Coach's Corner is still Coach's Corner.
Yeah.
But all the other stuff, it's terrible.
Yeah.
It's bad talent. It's bad takes. It's, like, just the visuals are bad. I don't mind Strombolopoulos as the host. It doesn't bother me. Yeah, I don't.
Oh, he's a hipster. He doesn't know anything about hockey.
He
knows a lot about hockey. But
he does. And he's hosting this thing as a, he's doing it as a host, not as a,
yes.
I'm a hockey guy who's hosting. He's doing it as a host who knows hockey. I got no problem with that. But it just seems really, really rinky-tink compared to the polished product that HNIC used to put together. It wasn't necessarily the flashiest thing.
No, it was a nice montage. It was a nice presentation.
And there wasn't necessarily as much conflict or whatever, but it was just slicker, smoother, more polished. And as the year has gone on, the Saturday night, the Sunday night, and the Wednesday night games are the ones I look forward to the least. I'd much rather watch the TSN coverage.
TSN coverage is unbelievable.
It's the quality of the play-by-play can be a little suspect from time to time, but I'm biased because I like very certain types of play-by-play, like Dean, like Dave Schreiber, like even like AJ on the radio doing
67.
Yeah, I love Schreibs. I love the way Schreibs calls a game.
I don't.
But I've been listening to his voice for, I'm about to say a number and I decided not to say it, but most of my life.
Yeah.
Because he was the voice of sports in the city for.
Well, he's got a voice for sports. I'll say that. Yeah. I try to hear him reading the news and it's.
Not good. No. But for in sports, it's the perfect thing.
Yeah.
And it's funny because he used to call horse races out at Rideau Carlton. And if you know that and you listen to him calling a game, he's calling a hockey game like a horse race.
Yes.
Oh, you little.
He does. He says a sentence.
Yeah, it's just his delivery style, which is what I find entertaining.
It'd be like reading Ivan's email again and go, does anyone remember back for the Colorado road trip when the Sens were irrelevant because we're in the middle of a road?
I still like it.
And not worth a mention anywhere! Comes with a league goal! You know, that kind of stuff.
One more thing I wanted to mention. I meant to mention this last week.
We done?
Pretty much, yeah.
We're done.
Okay. The Lindros defamation lawsuit against Paul Stewart.
Oh.
You see this?
It's not illegal if it's true, douchebag.
Well, it'll be interesting to see where that goes. I don't think it's probably going to go anywhere because Lindros probably has more money than Paul Stewart, so
settle.
They'll probably settle at some point, but it'll be interesting to see where it goes at least. The week to come, we have four games. If we keep, we're trying to record on Wednesdays for the rest of the season.
Well, consistency is a key to the season.
We're trying. So we have tomorrow, the Senators are in Montreal. On Friday, the Senators are on Long Island. On Sunday, they're back at home for the Flyers.
I believe I'm there.
And on next Tuesday, the Sens are in Raleigh. So
well, we do well there, don't we?
No. Oh. Well, it depends. No. Depends on if Cam Ward's playing. Actually, no, we just don't do well in Raleigh, but we especially don't do well in Cam Ward.
Is Joe Corvo still there?
Yeah.
So the good news is three out of those four games will be on RDS and TSN 5. The only one that it won't be is Sunday's game, and that'll be on City.
Yes! Definitely going now.
But it's 7 o'clock. It's a 7 o'clock game.
It's Sunday.
Yeah. No more afternoon games, or very, very few, I'm pleased to say.
But a great season for
that. Yes, very much so. So that's the week to come.
They balance it out well, yeah.
Yep.
That is the week to come.
We've been pretty much have to run the table and hope that next Thursday's game against Boston has some sort of relevance. But
yeah, because they just bought tickets in that one.
But
yeah, there's something like we had to go 11-4. Well, to get to the right point number, we'd have to go something like 11-4.
And Boston would have to.
And Boston would have to play more like a 500 season, or like play 500 kind of thing.
We win that game, it's different.
But if we had won last night,
it would have been different, but
we would have been pretty high right now.
I'm fine. I'm not higher or lower.
Never get too high, never get too low, Cardinal.
I'm a glass half full kind of guy, and I'm usually pouring, not drinking, so it's okay. anything from the Facebook page?
I don't know.
Oh, okay, I'll take that as a no.
It's been quiet.
I don't pay attention to it, so I wouldn't.
I believe Patrick said a thank you for our last episode, really enjoyed it, and gave you the link to the song that you were, Lisa Loeb's song, you were chasing down.
Oh,
week,
okay, nice.
Well, there you go.
Other than that, it's been pretty quiet. All right. But that's partly on us, too, for not being too active in there. So,
well, we haven't had anything on the waiver wire for a couple of weeks. We had two emails this week, which was really nice. Thank you, Ivan. And yes, thank you, Molar Doctor. Anybody else out there, we'd be happy to hear from you. Please give us something to talk about. Please.
Email the show!
Please tell us you disagree
with us. Give us a call.
Disagree with us on something. Tell us why we're wrong so we can argue about it for a while or something. I don't know. Something.
I was talking to Molar Doctor and even Puddle Duck. He's like, I'm not emailing you. You're just going to tear me apart. It's like, oh.
Oh, Puddle Duck. We wouldn't do that. And if we did, we'd do it only do it because we love
Puddle Duck, I saw your Twitter last night. You had some serious rage. You should have called the waiver wire.
Yeah.
Invent that stuff.
No more friggin' team jerk either.
Oh, come on. That's entertaining.
Good. You know jerk. That last one?
It's you talking to yourself.
That was me talking to myself.
Was it?
Yeah.
Team jerk has been exposed as a sham.
Oh, I not when it's me. I don't. It's actually weird. I'm up in the middle of the night and I keep forgetting to look at my phone to see if anybody's been up. So I should just start doing that.
Yeah.
Huh.
Start sending stuff. Anyway, folks, please email us, podcast@sendscalls.com, or contact us via Twitter or via Facebook. Join the online forums. The online forums were excellent during the game threads. Were getting more people in them during the California games because we were all trying to stay awake and talk about the games while it was going on. It's been quite a lot of fun lately. More people, the merrier. Don't be a stranger. Or call the waiver wire at 844-728-6565. That's 844-SCU. Eric Carlson. 6565.
It's a lot of numbers.
It is. It's a lot of numbers. But give us a call if you've got something you want to get off your chest or you don't feel like typing it all out or whatever. Give us a call. Thanks for listening. This is the second week in a row we've been on a Wednesday. Hopefully we'll keep doing this for the rest of the season, but sometimes reality gets in the way. We'll have to see. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Good night.
Later.
See ya.
I don't even think I know you, honey. Susceptible to any crime.